Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, it's Pitchfork Week here on The Download. We're talking to several of the acts that will be playing at Union Park this week. You heard early in the week Twin Peaks and the band Whitney. It also includes tonight's guests, Ishmael Butterfly Butler, one-third of the groundbreaking hip-hop group Diggable Planets.
Straight out of our lids. Them, they got boo by these hard rock Brooklyn kids. Us, Floor Rush, when they DJ booming classics. You lick the crew on the fattest hip-hop record. He touched the kinks and sinks into the sounds. She frequents deep, fatter joints called undergrounds. Our funk zooms like you hit the Mary Jane. They flock to booms, man, Boogie had to change. Who freaks the clips with mad amount percussion? Where kinky hair goes to unthought of dimensions? Why is it so fly? Cause hip-hop kept some drama. When Butterfly rocked the light blue suede boomers. What by the cut? We push it off the corner. How was the buzz entire hip-hop era? Was fresh in fact since they started saying Audi? Cause funk's made fat from right beneath my hood. The pooba of the styles like Miles and Ish. Like 60s funky worms with waves and perms. Just sending junky rhythms right down your block. We beat to rap, what key beat to lock, but I'm cool like that, I'm cool like that, I'm cool like that, I'm cool like that.
Diggable Planets exploded on the scene with their debut album Reachin', which included the jam we just heard. The group put out one more album, then broke up in 1995, citing creative differences. But that's the past, and Pitchfork is the future. They've reunited, and they'll be playing on Saturday in Union Park. My guest tonight, Ishmael Butler, Butterfly from Diggable Planets. Ishmael, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
I appreciate being here. Thank you.
This is a reunion for Diggable Planets. How's it feel to be back on stage together again?
It's feeling pretty smooth, man. We have played a couple of festivals, Essence Festival, and did the Sasquatch Festival in Washington State, and it's been kind of sweet, man. We got a nice band, and kind of took the songs from the old school songs and used them as a point of departure for kind of very subtle updates and stuff like that, you know. So it's just been cool, man. We've been having fun together, bro, so I'm happy.
Is that, I mean, that's obviously a big part of it, is having fun together when a group is broken up and you guys get back together. And I mean, this isn't the first reunion for you guys, but is that really what's at, I mean, that's at the core of being able to do a reunion tour, is having fun?
I think so. I mean, it varies, you know. Some people got all kind of reasons for maybe reuniting. I mean, it's like, for me, and I think I can speak somewhat for the other people in the group, we didn't have a bad relationship, so to speak, with each other, but we did have creative differences. We were young. We wanted to go do our own thing, so that was sort of the opposite of the breakup. But being able to get shows and for people to still want to see you and listen to your music after this amount of time, when offers come in, you can't really turn those down because it's a blessing. You know what I'm saying? So we looked at it like that, like, hey, people still want to see us. We need to go out there and take that opportunity. That's where I'm at with it.
I mean, there's so much creativity that goes into your work. I mean, not just with Diggable Planets, but Shabazz Palaces. I mean, you really have been trying to stretch the medium of hip hop from all the way to 1993. Let's go back to 1993, the rebirth of Slick. I mean, obviously, were you surprised as a group of kids who were from all around the country, but, you know, we're Brooklyn based. Were you surprised at how successful, how much that song crossed over and your band crossed over to mainstream America?
I mean, flabbergasted, you know, because at that time, it was much more narrow of a path to exposure, you know what I mean? So it was much more of a dice roll from the time you went into the studio to the time you chose your artwork to the time that things were pressed up and put out into the public for consumption. You just really never knew, couldn't predict the outcome in any kind of way. So, yeah, we were. I don't even have any words for it. You know, surprise is a little.
Do you look back? I mean, they're talking 20 plus years now. I mean, 23 years. Do you look back on that time and with fondness? Do you think about, you know, the times of touring off of that record and all of the hoopla and the MTV and everything that went into it? Is that a fond memory in your life?
Definitely, man. Definitely. I mean, it's like it's dreamy. You know what I mean? It's kind of surreal and dreamlike in a way. You know, and then to be far removed from it temporally and looking back on it is even more dreamlike. Because when you're doing it, you're kind of surfing on the wave, not really paying attention to things because they're happening so fast. So reflection, makes it more fantastic and a little bit more dreamlike. And then it's funny how memories come back to you in different pieces and different flashes here and there. So it's pretty wild. Plus, that was the time we got to see the world. You know, right. I hadn't been anywhere before that. And after that, I had been many, many places in foreign lands and everything. So that's a fond memory for sure.
You have a penchant for pushing the envelope and being creative. I mean, even with that record, there were so many different threads, whether it be hip-hop and jazz and improvisation that you were putting together. The follow-up record was critically acclaimed. It didn't have the same commercial success. I just wonder, you know, when you have such a big hit, like you had such a big hit with Rebirth of Slick, I mean, does it put a lot of restraints on you as a musician to have the pressure to do, you know, Rebirth of Slick 2, you know, instead of doing what you want to do, which is be creative and maybe try some different avenues, say something different?
Yeah, I think if you want to be a pop star or maintain stardom, then you do get that pressure because you do have to deliver, you know. But if I was the type of person that I only wanted to reach the levels of notoriety and fame, quote unquote, but I only wanted to be wherever my songs took me. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a vocation of being a star where you have to do these things in order to maintain it. It was like, look, if you do a good song and it becomes a hit, that's cool. But if you don't and it doesn't, I'm okay with that as well. So it wasn't about stardom and fame as it was about how much love and passion that I have for making music and exploring ideas. And I feel like us in the group, we felt like that. So ironically, our second album is the album that I think has its tentacles in culture more so than the first one. The first song is known, but the second album is a little bit more critically accepted and gave us the, or at least contributed to the longevity that we've had so far. So, you know, commercial success is one thing. Underground critical success has a whole nother life to it, too. So, like I said, man, I just take it how it comes. You know?
Well, for you, I mean, you mentioned it was it's much more narrow to be to have a celebrated and successful hip hop record in 1993 than it would be now. I mean, talk about being a musician who's really been on both sides. I mean, with Shabazz Palaces and the reunion tour of Diggable Planets, it's a different world now. The music industry's changed. You can go at it and you can create music in your bedroom, in your basement, and put it out to fanfare. Talk about how you've adjusted as a musician, a hip hop musician, to the changing nature of the music industry.
I think it's like constantly in flux, you know, your adjustment, because there's such a vast, well, the internet seems vast, but the expedition from idea in a room to possibly reaching out to fans is so much faster and so much easier nowadays. I think it allows you to be, get your ideas out to a public faster. But there's a drawback in it that it's a sort of a deluge of the amount of people mm-hmm. that are seeking sort of the same ears and eyes that you might be seeing. So you constantly, I think you got to work faster nowadays. And if you're trying to, as you say, be different or be unique, or at least just be yourself and not sort of do cookie cutter music in order to get, you know, fame, it's difficult, man, because you wonder what matters anymore, you know, because it seems like kind of fast food music is what becomes popular and personalities sort of supersede whatever the substance of the music is. So for me, I find it difficult. I don't think it's bad. I don't long for the old days or anything like that. But coming from that period of time and being sort of made my bones in that period of time, I feel like it's hard to navigate this period of time, but it's just a challenge, and there's always a challenge when you're being creative, so it's something that's welcome, but that's a difference that I see.
You have really made a bedrock of creativity. I mean, the stuff with Shabazz Palaces is really stretching the medium when it comes to hip-hop. I mean, you're talking about just a lot of different sounds, creativity. It's just something that you're not hearing on the urban radio stations in Chicago.
But
talk about how is it easier or more difficult to produce in that way, to stretch the limits as you get older? I mean, do you feel like you're more confident with trying new things and trying new music, or do you feel like it's somewhat of a challenge?
I feel both, because I feel confident because I practiced a lot and produced a lot, but I also, it's daunting to try to make your way in a new aesthetic, you know, with a new outlook, with people that may not see things your way. But like I said, I think the best things creatively happen when you're under pressure, you're challenged by yourself and by whatever arena you're trying to jump into. So I kind of seek that out as the optimum condition to try to create something in.
It's interesting because we had the president of Pitchfork on not too long ago, and we were talking about the audience demographic. You know, I went and saw Chance the Rapper at Pitchfork last year, and there was a point, I'm 41 years old, and I would have been the heyday for Diggable Planets, like I was a teenager when I was, you know. And there was a point where I'm like, I think a friend's daughter walked by, and she was like, you know, 17 years old. And I'm like, oh, I'm such a dad. I don't know what happened here. But like for you as a musician who's on a reunion tour and it's Diggable Planets, and for me and for Pete and the people who are listening to WGN right now, that's very exciting to be able to know that. I mean, you're playing to a lot of kids who are at 17, 18 years old, you know, are going to a festival to sit out in the sun and see their favorite acts. And Diggable Planets is not a nostalgia trip for them. How do you approach a show like that, in which it's awesome to be on the bill because it's Diggable Planets and it gets people interested, but a lot of the audience wasn't there for the first round?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have a lot of anxiety, you know, because it's like you want people to, you know, accept you and enjoy what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's hard, you know, but again, it's an opportunity to flourish your ideas and play your music. So, man, I approach it with a lot of excitement, but like, you know, there's some trepidation around it, you know. So, but again, you know, it speaks to the sort of timelessness, the fact that music shouldn't be categorized in anything temporally or stylistically, really, because music is this vibrational thing that can last throughout any sort of dates and times. So I think when you look at it that way, people come to enjoy themselves, and if they see you got passion and you've taken the time to develop your ideas and have some uniqueness to it, you got a good chance of succeeding to entertain them and make them feel something. So, you know, like I said, there's some trepidation, but I feel confident about it too and look forward to it. You know, and lucky. I feel lucky to have a chance.
Ishmael Butterfly Butler is one of the members of Diggable Planets. Diggable Planets will be on stage at the Pitchfork Music Festival on Saturday. Ishmael, thanks so much for taking some time out to talk to us tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. Have a good one, man.